Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know Bill Burr was rooting for them to win the Stanley Cup because on his podcast the other day, he was talking about the Lightning playing the Montreal Canadiens. And he said, I mean, if you look at people in Montreal look like they're doing fine, except for the drug addicts and the homeless people. Other than that, if you look at the average person walking around, you know, they're bilingual. They have nice clothes. They have a good sense of who they are. You go to Tampa, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just, I don't know who's down there. It's just a city that time forgot, right? Everybody's down there. Like, you walk around Tampa and it's like, is everybody on their way to a cookout? Wanda Sykes is filling in for Jimmy Kimmel this week. Is that a weird fit or is it just me? I'm not feeling it. I haven't seen too many monologue jokes from her. The only one I did see was talking about, apparently, Donald Trump at one point said that Adolf Hitler did a lot of good things. Wanda's joke, Hitler only did one good thing. He killed Hitler. I think that is a good point. I'm not sure it is the funniest joke, and I'm not feeling Wanda Sykes in for Jimmy Kimmel. The New York Times did an entire article about Joe Rogan and the power of Joe Rogan. I'm going to dive in on that at some point over the weekend, but I wanted to bring up one part of it. I thought it might be interesting to you all. Some of you may know this, but as I've done comedy radio for a decade and a half now, I know not everybody knows everything because it's not that important in the big scheme of things. But do you remember when Joe Rogan accused Carlos Mencia of joke theft and basically destroyed Mencia's career? From the Times, in 2007, Mr. Rogan stepped on stage at the Comedy Store to confront another comic, Carlos Mencia, over long-standing allegations that Mr. Mencia had stolen jokes from other comedians. I'll jump in here. Carlos became known as Carlos Menstelia, which is kind of funny. Anyways, the Times writes, a friend filmed the exchange and Mr. Rogan posted clips of it online, spliced with damning footage of Mr. Mencia performing versions of jokes that others had done first. Rogan said, I'm a real comic, bro. Initially, the Comedy Store sided with Mencia, who was the more successful act at the time, and banned Joe Rogan from the club. Rogan said his agency, which counted Mencia as a client, dropped him as well, but as the video went viral around the dawn of the viral video era, Mr. Mencia's reputation would irretrievably sag. In a recent interview, he sounded resigned to historical fate, saying, for the majority of comedians, he was looked at, still is, a kind of hero to the cause. It's ironic that a guy who was now saying you shouldn't cancel anybody at least started the building of his podcast by canceling me. Did you get your Seinfeld Lego yet? Their new set is Jerry's apartment plus little figures of Jerry, Elaine, George, Kramer, and Newman. The Seinfeld Lego set also includes a bunch of gag props you can use to recreate your favorite moments. Elaine has a goldfish in a bag, George has a fishing pole for recovering the marble rye, and Kramer has both a pretzel and a coffee table book that turns into a coffee table. Jerry gets a little brick wall stand-up stage you can use for little bookend sequences before or after you play Lego. That's great. Now, what's interesting here is all Legos are the same size, so now George and Kramer are the same height. It makes Elaine look a little stocky. I'll use the word stocky. The Seinfeld Lego set, $80, 1,326 pieces. It'll be available on August 1st. John Cleese has some new inspiration. Remember back in 2005, Eric Idle turned Monty Python and the Holy Grail into Spamalot, a show I love that I've seen twice on Broadway and once on the national touring version. I love Spamalot. Well, John Cleese has tweeted out that he has completed work on the first draft of the stage version of the 1979 religious satire Life of Brian. A concert version with new music had been staged previously, but this one will be a more traditional play. Cleese said, today I finished the first draft of the script for the stage version of Life of Brian, not as a musical, as songs slowed the pace down too much. Depending on COVID, we might be able to do it in the second half of next year. No members of Monty Python will appear in the stage version. Cleese says, no pythons in the cast. We've had enough. Die already. Looking forward to seeing that. Pete Holmes told High Times, I've always liked the term comedian more than comic. Some stand-ups I know love calling themselves comics, which I think is beautiful because they really are comics, going up three times a night. They love the lifestyle, the culture. They don't want anyone telling them what to do. We want weird hours. Dinner at 2 in the morning. It's a liberty sort of person. Nobody can tell me when to wake up in the morning. That's a comic. I've always enjoyed the term comedian because it means it's funny. I want to do it if it's writing, acting, even producing. Producing is very, very creative, which I think a lot of people don't realize. It's funny. I always want to do it. He talked about getting his talk show, and he said he wasn't one of those guys that always wanted a talk show. Guys like Jimmy Kimmel knew they wanted to be talk show hosts since they were 12. I didn't have that specific dream because I didn't necessarily think it was realistic. So when Conan came and was like, do you want to do a talk show? That's when I allowed myself to be like, are you kidding me? This is what I want to do my whole life. And to that point, I was sort of doing a talk show. It had just been deconstructed. I was doing a stand-up monologue. I was doing sketches. And I was doing a podcast, which is like the interview portion of the show. So we brought all those together under one roof. I like Pete. I worked with Pete one time at the Miami Comedy Festival. It was a lot of fun to be around and a cool guy. Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud and the Sundance Institute are pairing up to put black women at the forefront of comedy with a new screenwriting fellowship program called Women Right Now. Variety says this is designed to champion the next generation of black women in comedy. The new initiative focuses on providing one-on-one mentorship opportunities to black women screenwriters, as well as the funding to develop and produce these projects and a platform to exhibit them. Now, what caught my eye here is no quote from Kevin Hart. Usually, a press release will have something, you know, attributed to somebody. Now, I can tell you firsthand, in a lot of press releases, the quotes attributed to somebody are never voiced by that person. Like, somebody like me will write a draft of a press release and then say, Kevin Hart said, I'm very excited to put black women at the forefront of comedy with a new screenwriting fellowship program. This is going to be great. And then you run it past Kevin or Kevin's person, and a Kevin Hart or Kevin Hart's person goes, yeah, that's fine. And then in the final press release, it says, Kevin Hart said, but he never actually said it. That's how press releases work. So I find it interesting that there's no quotes attributed to Kevin Hart in the press release, but that's just my mind over-obsessing over minor details. From Vegas Eater, rotisserie meat and sandwich experts Carved appear to be expanding, and they're taking over the sites of Joe Koy's Japanese fondue restaurant at the Village Square. Did we know Joe Koy had a Japanese restaurant? Because we would have goofed on that, much like we goof on George Lopez tacos. I'll goof on any comedian's restaurant. Joe Koy had invested in Japanese fondue prior to its 2015 debut, eager to promote its, quote, swish swish, unquote, menu when he was performing locally. The brand's location in California has also closed, so it looks like Joe Koy's out of the restaurant business. However, he returns to the Vegas Strip in August, performing a limited residency at Wynn's Encore Theater. That's it. That's your comedy news for today. It has been a slow week with late night off, and the week after July 4th, nobody announced anything. So I did my best. Over the weekend, I've got normal episodes for you. They are some stuff that I had recorded in the past, and I'm going to deploy them. One of them asks the question, did Jon Stewart destroy comedy? That answer, of course, is no, but I'll dive in on the article over the weekend, and I will see you then. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You know the deal. See you later.